Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston, live. You can watch us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. If you haven't subscribed already, what are you waiting for? To quote Jennifer Love Hewitt in I Know What You Did Last Summer. Sean's making a face. Sean, you sweet, innocent child, you just don't understand how important that movie was to American culture, not to mention Jennifer Love Hewitt, her Hewitts, and how important they were to American culture in the 90s and early 2000s.
45% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well,
they need more.
That's probably from critics.
Yeah, they need more.
What was the audience
score? 14-year-old boys, too.
What was the audience score?
Audience, hold on. That's not
probably 100.
Easily acceptable.
Well, what?
Or not easily accessible. Oh, 41%.
From audience?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fake news. I don't believe that.
Oh, you think it's being suppressed?
I agree. It is being suppressed. Thank you for putting that statement out.
Oh, there's a sequel? I Still Know What You Did Last Summer?
Yeah.
Was she in that one?
She was.
Well, 7% on Rotten Tomatoes, 29% audience score.
Well, hey.
Important.
Can't catch lightning in a bottle twice.
You know, Vincent Van Gogh wasn't appreciated until after his death. Maybe I Know What You Did Last Summer will be the same thing. Centuries from now, people will look back on it.
Listen, there's Heartbreakers, starring her and Sigourney Weaver. And there's also the movie where She's All That? No, She's All That's the one where she's wearing glasses and then she's not and she becomes prom queen.
She's the Man?
No, She's the Man. That's Amanda Bynes. There's another iconic movie and it's about a house party and there's this dork. And he's like, I can't wait to see Amanda. I can't wait. And she's dating somebody else, but the guy sucks. Yeah. Anyway, we're in the weeds here. Listen, guys.
She was in the Scooby-Doo live-action movie.
Great. Hell yeah. Her and more Freddie Prinze Jr. Let's go. Anyway, guys. You know what you could learn from a lot of these late 90s coming-of-age movies? Is that you have to be true to yourself to succeed in life. And Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud, he knows. Probably because he liked I Know What You Did Last Summer. And you know what I know he did last summer? Worked hard so that he could have the best rookie season he possibly can. People asked him yesterday at the Houston Texans exit interviews, CJ, are you going to have a chip on your shoulder going into next year? Here's what he had to say.
I wouldn't necessarily name myself as a guy with a chip on his shoulder. I just think I'm me, you know? Like, I don't really try to... I used to be in the business of proving people wrong and people pleasing and stuff. Man, that stuff is exhausting and it don't make no sense. So, honestly, man, I'm really going to be just preparing for what we got going on here. Yeah, we lost to Baltimore up there, and there's some things that we need to get fixed, of course, but it's time for that once we get back to those moments, you know. But right now, it's all about getting better and just really putting our best foot forward on making yourself better as a person, as a player, you know, and that's something that I definitely am excited to get into.
I'm so happy that C.J. Stroud is in a robo, full of bleep politician at the podium. And as someone who's covered someone like that, Russell Wilson, it's just nice to have someone who is not only going to talk about being true to himself, but also is true to himself. I'm not being sarcastic here. I'm not having fun with it. I know that my tone sounds sarcastic. I'm not. It is refreshing to have somebody who actually speaks like a normal human being at the podium. Is that going to last? I don't know. But it has lasted for this entire year. I feel like he always gives thoughtful answers and saying, yeah, I'm not going to have a chip on my shoulder. Wouldn't just about every quarterback when asked about it say, yeah, it's going to motivate me into next year. And then all of a sudden, that's going to be like the first part of a Gatorade commercial during the offseason. Like, I know what it's like to be down, but when I have my Gatorade, I get back up. You know, and he doesn't do that crap. I like it.
Yeah, just this part.
I wouldn't necessarily name myself as a guy with a chip on his shoulder.
That is like keeping it very honest.
Yeah.
And just being like, what a chip on my shoulder for what? Like,
right.
I was a highly rated recruit, went to Ohio State, lost like 3 games there. And yeah. And now I'm a rookie of the year. Like, there's not exactly the underdog story. Not like everyone doubted me. Everyone, like, I like it that there isn't just some forced, like Caleb Williams is going to have some people doubted me energy when he comes into the league.
Oh, he so is.
When he's been the number one quarterback for literally 2 years.
Stroud did have some doubters, to be fair.
No, but I like that he's not highlighting it. He's not trying to film a Gatorade commercial right now.
He doesn't care.
He's just actually answering questions.
And there are a lot, I mean, the S2 testing, which if you saw the S2 cognition test creators that CJ Stroud supposedly did so bad on, told the Wall Street Journal this week that his poor result was, quote, potentially invalid and never should have been released.
False positive.
But, I mean, that gets put out there. That would put a chip on my shoulder if this just gets put out and I prove these dumbasses wrong with their stupid test that they want people to pay money for, and all of a sudden I break the test and these people are like, well, actually, like, there was fake results. Great. Yeah, I'm sure we're all going to trust any test result that comes out from your clown operation going forward. Because CJ Stroud broke it. Oh, but Brock Purdy was good. Well, Brock Purdy has been an absolute dog bleep in the last couple of games that we've seen him play. Against the Ravens and on Saturday against the Green Bay Packers. He stunk at both of those games. Oh, it's one outside. It's S2 test, though. You know, like, it's... But Stroud doesn't have that as a chip on his shoulder. He's different from me, and I like that. He's authentic, and he's honest. It's nice. It's nice to have.
Even just going like, that is him actually thinking about if he has a chip on his shoulder.
Right, and he doesn't.
And he went to the conclusion of, no, not really.
And he has reasons to have a chip on his shoulder, and it seems like the biggest chip he has on his shoulder is like for the living conditions of people who are in prison because of his dad. But, like, that's pretty much it. Like, that's the only thing where it seems like he's spoken with a chip on his shoulder of sorts. And it's nice and it's refreshing. And you know what? Stroud continued. As we talk about, you know, coming-of-age motifs, being true to yourself. CJ Stroud said, to reach the next level, I just have to keep being myself, be myself.
Yeah, I got to do way more. You know, I got to just be me. You know, at the end of the day, I look back at it, like, I can say a whole bunch of cool stuff up here that'll make everybody go crazy. But honestly, I got to be myself, you know, and just work hard at that, you know, and just really do everything that God put in my heart to do. And I'm just super thankful for God, man, and Christ for really just having a rookie year like I had, you know, and to be able to be mentioned with a whole bunch of greats. And be playing against greats, you know what I'm saying? So it's been just a blessing, and really my plan is just I want to be the best. You know, I don't want to just be the best rookie, the best second-year dude. I want to be the best, point-blank period. So I'm excited to get going with that, and yeah.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 apologizes for CJ Stroud speaking about the Lord in that quote. Just kidding. That's what NBC
should've,
would do.
Should have cut that.
No. That's the other part I like about him. He doesn't care about talking about that stuff. And look, I'm not religious. I wish I had faith. The boat has sailed. But I like that he still has it. If he's going to put it out there every now and then, I know some people roll their eyes because they hear it a lot. I'm blessed, blah, blah, blah. It's refreshing for me. Will it be this way forever? Maybe not. Will I be annoyed if he's saying like he's blessed after a playoff loss where they play poorly? Maybe. But right now, he's authentic. He's true to himself. That's good. It's good to have that. It's just refreshing. I'm thankful they don't have some robos reading a book on how to publicly speak like Brock Osweiler actually was doing. You know?
Yeah. That the overly cautious politician quarterback is tough.
Russell Wilson.
And I was thinking about it. I think
Tom Brady to an extent.
The reason chip on my shoulder Like, just I automatically am like, what are you talking about, dude, with chip on your shoulder? I think Baker Mayfield ruined having chips on your shoulder for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least talking about having chips on your shoulder. You can have them. Just you don't have to tell me about every single one of them. All right, dude?
Let's go through, before we go to break, Sean, all of the quotes that came out of the Houston Texans exit interviews yesterday. We'll just read them. That may or may not have been a tad hyperbolistic.
Just thumbs up, thumbs down?
Yes. Gerard Johnson changed C.J. Stroud's life. Quarterback coach of the Houston Texans. I'm going to say that's hyperbole. Now, I do think that Gerard Johnson has helped C.J. Stroud out. But I don't think that Gerard Johnson has changed C.J. Stroud's life. Personally.
Yeah, I want to lawyer this and be like, well, he did change his life. I mean, he was a football coach that he had. There were decisions that affected butterfly effect, you know. But no, I mean, I think CJ was going to be pretty good no matter what. Gerard Johnson, great job, but changed his life is a bit much.
Right. Gerard Johnson changed my life because he helped me run a 4.840.
Yes, exactly.
At the old age of 25. You got to wonder. Gerard Johnson had been working with me for more than 10 minutes, would I have been able to get to 4.6 like so many people claim? I don't know. I guess we'll never know. Important questions that need to be answered. C.J. Stroud said this about Will Anderson. Will Anderson is one of the most talented players he's ever been around. Hyperbole or not hyperbole?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I will say it's not hyperbole because Stroud played college football, and this was his first year in the NFL.
Yeah, and Will Anderson is an insane, talented athlete.
He's very good. Let's go to some other players. Hyperbole or nah? Will Anderson ranked D'Amico Ryans ahead of Nick Saban for his favorite coaches. Now, I think D'Amico's definitely a lot easier to play for. I don't think he's as much of a hard ass as Nick Saban is. But I think of a Will Anderson, I'm still picking the guy that I've won a natty with.
I don't think he won a Will.
You know what?
Or no, he might have his freshman year.
But he wasn't playing probably a lot that year.
Mm. Yeah, he did his freshman year in 2020.
Okay.
But
pandemic year.
Yeah, also Astros.
Probably wasn't as fun.
I mean, it is pretty wild. It's not like Nick Saban's like out of the news. It's like, well, he just retired. If you want to throw him a bone, maybe. I don't know.
Will Anderson thinks Nick Saban wasn't a good coach.
Yeah.
Misleading headline for the ESPN Houston.
Seven-time national championship winner, worse coach than first-time head coach D'Amico Ryan. Hyperbole.
Hyperbole or not hyperbole? Will Anderson said the Texans are building something special, citing Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, and the Jaguars' Josh Allen. I'm going to say that's not hyperbole.
No, not hyperbole.
This is special.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I trust Josh Allen on the Jags' opinion on this, but
yeah, but I do trust.
I trust Garrett and Clowney to an extent.
I trust Clowney more than to an extent. I want to see Clowney here next year.
Wow,
bring him back.
Do you want DeAndre Hopkins again too?
Yeah,
get James Harden back. Hey, while we're at it. Just bring 2017 back.
Let's be honest. If the Texans had DeAndre Hopkins or another wide receiver for this game, and again, it would have cost some money. Like, it would have been helpful.
Yeah.
Right? Come on.
They wouldn't be able to have Steven Nelson. Butterfly effect.
Well, that's true. Will Anderson to Christian Harris. Quote, people don't understand how much better we're going to be next year. Hyperbole or not hyperbole? I think that's hyperbole. I think most people are expecting them to be a lot better next year.
Yeah, if they're speaking individually, then maybe not hyperbole. But as far as the Texans, like the Texans are going to be one of the hype teams going into next year.
100%. One last one. Chris Sims on Christian Harris. This is not a Houston Texan. Chris Sims is a Texas football legend, Sean Mapes. Chris Sims on Christian Harris. The Texans also might have Fred Warner Jr. at linebacker. Christian Harris is all over the field. Is that hyperbole or no?
Feels a little hyperbolistic.
I agree. Very hyperbolistic. But he's working with D'Amico Ryans, and D'Amico Ryans did that with Fred Warner.
That's why it's hyperbolistic, right. Is because I can see the math that he's doing when he says that.
Yeah, but listen, you gotta have a hot take. Texter asks, what the hell does chip on your shoulder even mean? It is a great question. We're going to answer that on the other side and go around the NFL. Did Deshaun Watson throw shade at CJ Stroud? Paul Galacho, stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-Minute Drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Where does the saying chip on your shoulder come from? Well, wouldn't you know that it comes from one of the greatest cities in all of the United States of America, a beacon on a hill, Syracuse, New York.
Ugh.
I know, right? In an issue of the Onondaga Standard of Syracuse, December 8th, 1830, he waylay me, the mean, sneaking fellow. I am only afraid that he will sue me for damages. Oh, if I could get him to knock a chip off my shoulder and so get round the law, I would give him one of the soundest thrashings he ever had. And then Mark Twain made it popular in Huckleberry Finn.
Classic. He just lifted it, made it big. What year did you say that was?
1830.
Okay, good. That's before Syracuse University was founded. So,
well,
Syracuse can't take credit for that.
Some say it led to the founding of Syracuse University.
40 years later.
Syracuse's original colors were pink and green, and it was a woman's school. How about that? And then they finally decided to treat men as equals. It's about damn time. It's about damn time. Someone texted in, CJ Stroud has a chip on his shoulder for Jesus. That is true.
That is true.
Hey, you know who I imagine has a chip on his shoulder this offseason? Bills kicker Tyler Bass, who is not just getting crushed for missing the potential game-tying field goal against the Chiefs. He has also had to experience the call of his miss in every single language, including this one, on Korean radio.
모든 문들을 닫았어요. 그렇기 때문에 조시 앨런 선수가 오른쪽으로 나오면서 시간을 벌어봤지만 오픈된 리시버를 찾을 수 없었습니다.
44야드 거리입니다. 타일러 베스.
오!
아, 오른쪽으로 벗어났어요!
Man. You know, sometimes you don't need to understand language to understand the human emotion.
I'd be so upset if I was a Korean Bills fan. They seem too happy.
They were happy.
That seemed like the hometown
Kansas
City call.
That did not seem like a neutral broadcast. Right. Right. Now, maybe Korea is low-key, very pro-Chiefs. I mean, Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is an international figure. I feel like there might be more Chiefs fans internationally than there's ever been because of the Taylor Swift phenomenon.
Or this is the Korean version of Gus Johnson, where it's just
Gus Johnson.
Oh, can you believe it? It's like 2nd and 10.
Speaking of Taylor Swift, guys, big news. Taylor Swift lovers who have started following the NFL because of Taylor Swift's lover, Travis Kelce, they're evolving. They are becoming true football fans. There is a Reddit thread of Taylor Swift fans who I guess are commenting on what's taking place in Chiefs games, and all of them were angry about the Chiefs fumble touchback. All of them were angry. They had so many questions about it. I mean, that's part of becoming an American football fan.
I will say, if you have no experience in the National Football League, and by that I mean like I have experience in the National Football League by watching it, that is probably the hardest one to explain, is to be like, yeah, so if you fumble it where you score and it goes out of bounds, then the other team gets it at the 20. And like,
I love it.
Why is that?
It's such a great rule.
I don't know, but that is the rule.
I love it. And look, they get this is their first experience with football being wacky. And here's the deal. Don't fumble, bozo. Don't fumble. Never, ever fumble. No one should ever fumble. If you fumble, you're bad. Bad! I'd put you in timeout if I was your parent. I'd duct tape a football to your arms, and I would make you have to walk around with it for an entire day like Daddy Billingsley played by Tim McGraw in Friday Night Lights. I'd do it. I would do it. Anyway, let's continue to go around the NFL. because some Taylor Swift fans were also saying, hey, let's stop giving Mecole Hardman the ball. See? They're actually embracing the sport.
Good call. Right? They know ball.
They're figuring it out. The Tennessee Titans have a new head coach. They hired Brian Callahan. Is that Tommy Boy's character in Tommy Boy, played by Chris Farley, RIP?
That was Tommy. His name was Tommy.
Oh,
Tommy
yeah, that's
Callahan.
True. That's true. Was his dad Brian Callahan? I don't know.
Good question.
Questions we may never know the answer to. All I know is that's such an underwhelming hire for Tennessee. I know hiring Bill Belichick, maybe not the best idea, but firing Mike Vrabel, you got to do better. And you hired, like Mike Mularkey, like Mike Munchak, like Ken Whisenhunt, a bore, a snore. You got to get someone fun to get all those basic bachelorette parties to come and watch your football games. Because the rest of the state is focused on Tennessee volunteer football. So, I got to say, guys, you blew it. But I'm happy you blew it. I'm happy about that. Gesundheit. I just sneezed.
Couldn't tell because you're such a pro.
Sneezed twice.
Until you mentioned it. No, well, okay.
I had to do it.
You didn't have to mention.
I did have to mention it.
No, well, that defeats the purpose of turning off the mic, though.
I don't want anyone to hear it.
But you
want
people
to
know
I'm powering through the sneeze because I'm a broadcasting professional.
Okay. You're the guy who's like, I don't want to, you know, no excuses, but I will need off-season surgery. you don't want any excuses.
Right.
But just know that I am battling through.
Exactly. I'm LeBron James.
Basically broken hand.
Basically. Deshaun Watson was on the, speaking of famous broadcasters, Cam Newton podcast. Cam Newton had some pointed questions to ask him about his feelings towards Houston and C.J. Stroud's ascendance.
Nah, I ain't even that type of dude. You feel me? Like I ain't even that type of dude to sit there and just have any type of hate. Like, cause I've been there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I won a wild card game there. You know what I'm saying? But like,
yes, sir.
And she just didn't. You know, it didn't go our way. Business is business, and yes. You know we parted ways. But like, for me to see CJ and like how you was with me,
yeah.
We trained together. Like I came up. Like CJ was the same way in California when me and Q was out there. Like he was right there with us. We got the same agent. Like from day one, I've always been like, right when he got drafted, take over H-Town. It's your city now. You know what I'm saying? Anything you need, you got it. Like I've all been that big bro, you know what I'm saying? In the distance where it's just like, yo, bro, handle you what you got to handle. You feel me?
Am I wrong in when I listen to that quote thinking one, okay, Deshaun mentioning that he has a wild card win, as many wild card wins as CJ Stroud, is a hint of jealousy. And two, am I wrong in thinking that Deshaun Watson was trying to sound cool while talking to Cam Newton?
Yeah, there might have been a little bit of that. Definitely, he definitely was like coming up beside kind of taking credit for CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
He was coming close.
He's like, you know,
I've always been a CJ Stroud guy.
I told him I'd do whatever he needs to have done if he comes to Houston. I'd open everything up. And you know what? Maybe he actually did all those things. But he mentions that he also won once in the playoffs. True, but I mean, they barely won that game. They played horribly in the first half, and he got his doors blown off in his first wild card playoff game that he ever played in, which was in his second season. Of course, he got hurt his rookie year, so he couldn't play in the playoffs that year. Would they have made the playoffs? Maybe. They were a frisky team after that loss to Seattle. They were 3-4, I think, at that moment in time. So it would have been an uphill battle to get to the actual playoffs. But, man, he's definitely trying to sound cool in front of his friend Cam Newton, who he probably used to worship when he was a younger player.
That is the key point, is that Cam Newton's like 5 or so years older than him.
You feel me?
And they're both, I'm not even that kind of dude.
I'm not that kind of dude,
he's almost kind of talking like Cam Newton. He's doing the thing where you kind of talk like the person you're trying to impress. And they're both from Atlanta, too. So that's an extra layer of like, yeah, this Cam Newton's probably his hero. And he's pressing him. I'm like, so, do you feel a little bit of jealousy that...
It's good journalism by Cam.
Hard-hitting questions.
Very good journalism.
And I'm sure an absurd hat that he was wearing.
It was an absurd hat. I think it had things dangling from it.
Yeah.
It looked like one of those things that you put above an infant to help go to sleep. Anyway, that's the Around the NFL segment of the Paul Gallant Show, which you can hear normally every single weekday at 10:30. Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and on YouTube at ESPN Houston. If you haven't already, subscribe to the channel and like the current video that you're watching. Leave a comment. Tell a friend. Up next, the Houston Astros officially introduced Josh Hader. You'll hear what he had to say at yesterday's introductory press conference as we continue our countdown to Astros pitchers and catchers reporting. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey, the official whiskey of the PBR Tour, the world's premier bull riding organization. It's coming to Toyota Center January 26th and 27th. And you guys have heard me talking about Pendleton Whiskey. I had a little bit of it here at the station when I was watching the football game, the depressing end to the season. At the very least, I was enjoying the flavor of barrel-aged American oak whiskey cut with glacier-fed spring water from Oregon's Mount Hood. It's an uncommonly smooth and rich taste. It's not too sweet. Perfect Canadian whiskey, but it is super refreshing. That's what Pendleton Whiskey does. Pendleton Whiskey is something that defines what it means to be a cowboy. It celebrates the cowboy in all of us. It celebrates a heritage, inspiring us to live boldly, never losing sight of the values we believe in, and to taste the moment wherever we may be. Pendleton Whiskey, it's true Western tradition, and again, the official whiskey of the PBR Tour, which is coming to town in a couple of days. PBR.com for tickets.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Getting closer and closer to Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to West Palm Beach for spring training. Let's continue that countdown.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
Hell yeah. Play that trombone. 20 days away. Best number 20 in Astros history per this write-up on MLB.com from Brian McTaggart. Tony Eusebio from 1994 to 2001. The stocky Dominican catcher hit .275 with 30 homers and 241 RBIs in 9 seasons, all with the Astros, along with a .375 average in 4 postseasons. He wore number 10, by the way, in 1991. Maybe that's why Martin Maldonado wore number 10. And then a team record 24-game hitting streak in 2000. What? Didn't know that. Fun facts. Shout out to Tony. The Astros officially introduced Josh Hader to the media. And he was asked, Hader, if he signed here to be the Astros closer.
We signed here to win baseball games.
Hell yeah.
Championship. And I think, like Dana said, Ryan's on the same boat, and we're all in the same boat to, you know, do whatever we can and win ball games and take it to the final step.
We signed here to win championships. He doesn't even care about his role. Team player, baby. Win.
Stats are for losers.
Stats are for losers. Final scores for winners. Win, 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 win. And look, Josh Hader, he saw that Astros success from afar, and he knew he wanted to be a part of it.
I believe it was just, you know, they never gave up. Each guy had each other's back, and I think that was one of the things that you see from the outside looking in is that these guys are passionate, but not just passionate about the game, but passionate with each other. And You know, I think when you have that camaraderie between each other, I think that's how you get to that ultimate goal. It's not just having talent on the field. It's having that gel, that clubhouse, that everybody is a big family. And I think that was one of the biggest things looking in. It was like, you want to be a part of something like that.
They're passionate about baseball. They're passionate about each other. I mean, isn't that what it's all about?
I'm just glad he didn't say they're passionate with each other.
Well, hey, what would be wrong with that? It's 2024,
no,
Sean.
You're right.
You're being a bigot. You could be passionate. Sean, we could be passionate together. If we watch a sporting event at the same time, if we're both watching, say, a Texas-Syracuse game, like the Cotton Bowl in 1959 that Syracuse won, say we're both watching a game like that, or like the game in the Final Four where Syracuse beat Texas also, like say we're watching that game together, we can be passionate with each other.
Oh, you're talking about basketball.
And football, where we beat Texas in the most important games.
Before black people could play.
Well, whose fault was that?
Texas.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
That's 100%.
100% on Texas. Hey, you could be passionate with each other. Anyway, Josh Hader, this is how he came to be excited about a potential reunion with the Houston Astros, who, of course, he came up through their minor league system with.
Honestly, we were really excited. A little backstory. Obviously, we were here. My wife and I met in Corpus Christi, and you know, there's just a lot of full circle moments that involved the Astros and just everybody around the organization. And you know, that was one of the places that we really had in mind. Like, why not be here? You know, we've had a connection before, and this is an organization that really strives ourselves on relationships to be, you know, together and be a part of like a big family, and that's something that Maria and I really wanted to be a part of. And you know, it's a special place here, and obviously they've done great things for so many years now, and you know, obviously to be a part of that for five more, that's something that really got us excited.
Now, for those who don't know, he said Maria, that's his wife who he met when he was in Corpus Christi with the Hooks way back in the day. A mild critique of the contract, 5 years, $95 million. Is it possible that they wouldn't have had to give him that much? Just throwing that out there. Look, if it's a general manager talking with an agent, the agent is going to try to get as much money as possible. Could there have been a way to weasel your way into paying him a little bit less than $5.95 if you're Dana Brown?
What, by pulling the heartstrings?
Yeah.
I think that Josh Hader said all the right things at the press conference. I think that if he had signed with the Dodgers, it would have been a lot of the same, just minus I met my wife here.
Probably right.
I think he was going, all of these go along with, also they paid me $95 million, which is well within his rights.
They did. Totally did. Yeah, it is kind of hard to believe, like, why not here? It's like, well, yeah, not $95 million if you're not here. So, something to keep in mind. But I'm just thinking, if I'm Dana Brown, like, do I tug the heartstrings a little bit more? Do I start singing to Josh while we're negotiating? Like, hey, Josh, you know, the stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas. The baby blooms are high on perfumes deep in the heart of Texas. I think I butchered that one.
He was born in Maryland.
Oh, damn it. But they met.
Okay, yes.
The love.
Yes, but he grew up in Texas.
You can only find love and passion here in Houston.
He grew up in Texas from 2013 to 2015 when he was in the Astros minor league system.
See, exactly.
Those 3 years.
I grew up in Massachusetts, but I really became a man in Houston. Man, I love this trombone. Anyway, Paul Galanchon, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. By the way, one of my least favorite days of the year is tonight in the world of sports. You will find out why next. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, I got to tell you about my friends, though, at mybookie.ag. Okay, well, maybe you can't bet with your heart anymore because our beloved Houston football team is donezo, but you can still bet on the NBA. You can still bet on college football at mybookie.ag. They also have live in-the-flesh dealers for poker, blackjack, and roulette. All of it's at mybookie.ag. And by the way, when you enter promo code BET975, you get an awesome deposit bonus, something that you can turn into bonus cash. You can even refer a friend and get more bonus cash with that same promo code BET975. And you can bet on, I don't know, say the AFC Championship game or the NFC Championship game. The AFC Championship game, I think, right now is probably the Super Bowl. No offense to the San Francisco 49ers because Brock Purdy is looking the way he's looking. And the Detroit Lions, no offense, it's Jared Goff. The Ravens are 3.5-point favorites in Baltimore playing their first home AFC Championship game since 1970. It's going to be loud. It's going to be probably not optimal as far as weather goes. I really think Baltimore's going to win. I feel like it might be convincing. Who am I to doubt Patrick Mahomes with the way that he just seems unbeatable with the Chiefs defense? But I like the Ravens right now by 3.5. That's the spread. MyBookie.ag, the over-under for it is 44.5. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
You like chicken sandwiches? I'm about to devour one live on the radio. Our friends at Big Chicken just stopped by with a care package for my tum-tum. And I don't know if you guys know much about Big Chicken. It's down the road on Westheimer, with a menu that's based off of Shaquille O'Neal's childhood. So they got chicken tenders. I know that they got something really cool sounding. You like mac and cheese, Cheez-It crusted mac and cheese, handcrafted ice cream shakes, house-made chips, salads. I'm sorry, I can't read because I'm focusing on this sandwich. Oh my God.
They had all the different kinds out in the bullpen. And there was a line forming, but they said, oh, make sure Paul gets one first. I was like, let me just take it to Paul so we don't have a riot on our hands with people trying to get their hands on these. And they're going through each of the different kinds, and every single one of them, I was like, oh, I kind of want to try that one. Oh, I want to try that one. So, yeah, hope you like original. I got buffalo.
Could you hear the chewing on the air?
Yes. I'm trying to talk over it so people aren't disgusted in their cars.
I got it really good.
Oh, great.
Wow, really good. Oh, what was that one? I'm finishing the food. What? What? It's a Whopper show.
Be professional.
I am being professional. Sorry. Sorry you don't have a chicken sandwich, but you can go to Big Chicken and
get one.
It's
right here. I'm practicing restraint as a professional.
I'm being a professional, and yeah. I'm highlighting how good that was. Because you know what? A real man eats
chicken on the radio.
Well, yeah, real man eats chicken on the radio. A real man eats to highlight how good the chicken is. And that Big Chicken is some good stuff. My God. Do you want to do the rest of the segment?
Yeah. Paul teased that today is the day he hates.
Oh, yeah, today's the day I hate. You know what? No, I got it. Okay. Nope.
I was about to actually try to do it.
Okay. So tonight, the Baseball Hall of Fame announces who's getting in this year's class. 5:00, they announce the results of their 2024 Hall of Fame vote. Billy Wagner, Astros great, is a nominee. Craig Biggio narrated a video package that the MLB Network put together that gives about a 3 to 4 minute look back at the Astro closer's career.
Now you can eat your chicken sandwich, by the way.
Billy Wagner back on the mound for the ninth inning.
Billy the Kid, when I saw you run in from the bullpen, I knew the game was over. The other team did too. I love playing behind you for 9 seasons with the Astros. Although a lot of those ninth innings didn't include much work for us on the infield.
Billy Wagner has been just knocking him down.
Strike him out. This ball game is over. Swing and a miss. Ball game is over.
I had fun competing against you after you left Houston. But you know, I can't even remember how I did.
Hit hard to deep left field, going back on it is Burrow. At the track, looks up, that ball is gone. Greg Biggio's 20th of the year.
The truth is, the only reason I had a chance against you was that I paid such close attention to how you worked for so many years. Those of us who played with you and against you know how dominant you were. And we know where you belong, now and forever.
Gotta say, kind of a dick move by Biggio to include the home run that he hit off of Billy Wagner in Billy Wagner's Hall of Fame montage. I don't know if that was an executive choice by Biggio, but from one Hall of Famer to a not quite Hall of Famer, I gotta say, like, that kind of hurts his candidacy. You're showing a low light in that montage? What are you doing here?
He has to be the only, or Billy Wagner has to be the only pitcher that has a home run off of him showed.
In the first minute of the video.
Greg Biggio and Billy Wagner better be really good friends.
I agree.
I would be so mad.
I would be mad about that too.
But maybe it's something, you know, maybe it's something that they, you know, look back and laugh on. Maybe that's the only hit that Biggio has off of Billy Wagner. But I would also be like, hey, maybe throw a mention to that.
Exactly. Craig. Now, I do got to say, this is not the issue that I have with today. The issue I have with today is that baseball is still not going to put Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in the Hall of Fame by the end of today. Curt Schilling's not even going to be there. For me, growing up a Red Sox fan, even if Curt Schilling is about as crazy as it gets online, Ty Cobb's in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry, you can't hold some random moral clause up there when a guy who bragged about allegedly killing somebody who was openly racist, you can't act like Schilling can't get in for that. And for this idea that cheating in baseball only took place in the late 90s versus any other time in the sport, in a sport that has been, you know, experiencing cheating of various degrees for almost 150 years. Why do we specify the era where everyone had the most fun watching it as an era that has to be forgotten because of how unpure it was? Barry Bonds is the greatest hitter I've ever seen. I don't care if he was on the juice. Roger Clemens has one of the greatest resumes of any pitcher ever. And he's a Houston guy. He's a Texas guy. What are we doing? But we're going to vote in. Who was the guy that they voted in last year? Bobby Abreu? What? I mean, this is so simple. Just put the best players in the game. And you know what? If you want to include the asterisk about them in the game, go ahead. Hell, while we're at it, Pete Rose too. 3 of the best players ever. Put a footnote in there, a big footnote. It's part of the game. It's a museum to honor the best players in the history of the sport. And if you want to add a little extra context, you can. But is it right that Craig Biggio or Billy Wagner could be in the Hall of Fame where Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens aren't? Explain that to me. Do it with Jeff Bagwell, too. Explain that to me. I don't think you can. It just doesn't make any sense. This morality clause that baseball holds over everyone who's ever played the game, but specifically for a period of about 10 to 15 years, I do not understand it, and I never will.
Especially the the difference that they make between guys that played in the late 90s and hit a lot of home runs, where it's like, well, we don't think this guy was on the juice, but we think this guy was. So we're not going to put the guy that we think was. It's like, there's no actual I mean, with Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens is a little different. But with some of these guys that they just assume were on steroids or assume that weren't. It's crazy.
It is.
Gary Sheffield's not going to get it.
One texter saying Ty Cobb didn't take steroids. Yeah, he bragged about killing someone. And we're acting like it's okay that he's in and all these other players aren't.
That's not as bad as doing steroids, cheating the game.
How can you say Barry Bonds is the greatest hitter and you don't care if he took steroids? Plenty of his home runs directly caused from him taking steroids. Or maybe he was just always an awesome hitter because before his skull ballooned three sizes, yeah, he was still a really good hitter and a really good fielder. I don't get it. I'm guessing this person that's texting in is a baseball writer or something like that. I think everyone agrees that these are two of the greatest players ever.
But no, I can't go in.
Let's elect some random, like Bobby effing Abreu to the Hall of Fame. Bobby Abreu. I don't get it. That's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant Show. Can't wait for the my column, like sniffing of farts ceremony that all the baseball writers online have.
Tom Verducci.
Can't wait for that Tom Verducci video.
Verducci season.
As he like slowly and dramatically types at his keyboard. God, they're such dorks. Anyway, so long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. I'm going to devour this big chicken sandwich. Connor and Beard are up next. Peace!